So for our Maximum Motivation members, we're continuing our conversation with Terry Crowe, and Terry's engineering manager for a Fortune 500 company. But Terry, I wanted to talk more in depth, I would say, with regards to the types of individuals that you hire as an engineering manager. What are some of the maybe the characteristics that you look for, the skills and aptitudes that maybe you look for, and advice to individuals coming out of college or getting prepared to come out of college, things that they can do to prepare themselves to be ready for that type of environment. Can you address that a little bit?
Sure. I think one of the first things I look for is coming out of college, they need to have a basic skills knowledge base, and that can be either from learning through the college resources, or it could be something that they've acquired through the years on their own on their own skills. I look at past history of the person. If it's job related, that's one thing. If it's school related, I look at that too. There's a lot to be found when a person has applied themselves or not applied themselves to their career. And then I look at the ability of the prospective employee to actually just listen, absorb, and then provide feedback on just what their career path may be. It kind of sorts out what their desire level is for that position.
Mm-hmm. Do you find that a lot of times in interviewing, you want to know why they made a certain decision with their career, or why they took certain courses, or why they did a certain internship? What, not so much of, you know, what it actually was, but the why in their decision-making process? Do you go into that?
I do go into that a little bit. One of the things I think you find out when you speak to an individual is why did they choose that specific career path? And a lot of times you get an honest answer of it was the only thing out there, but a lot of times you get the ability to draw out of the individual that this is something they've always wanted to do. And the word that comes to my mind that adds a lot of interest to my interview is that they have a passion for the industry. You have to really love what you do, and not in today's society, I believe careers are more of a passion than they are just as a career based, you know, I need to get a job kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd agree with that. In your career, have you had the opportunity to mentor any under anyone? Have you had the opportunity to mentor someone? And you know, what if you have? What's the value of having a good mentor? Can you address that maybe a little bit?
Sure, and I've had several opportunities to mentor different individuals and different ways I've mentored them. But I think one of the best success stories for me was when I was working with an individual, and they were coming up through the ranks, but they more or less had a negative attitude about the job in itself. And after working with this individual for a couple of years, we finally found what his niche in life was, and it turned out that all it was to turn around that negative attitude, a positive attitude, by reinforcing the fact that his job was valued. He was valued by the company as a person and as an individual that could do a very good job at his mechanical ability. Eventually, that person actually went on to become a chief engineer of a company. So the success was there. You know, the value in having a good relationship as a mentor is, you know, it's information-based. It's based on two-way conversations. Mentoring is not just about teaching somebody everything you know. It's drawing back on feedback to find out what that person knows, what they need to know, and to continue mentoring that person in that respect as a two-way conversation.
So the mentoring could actually come outside of the actual manufacturing plant or office setting that they're in. They could go to the outside with and find a mentor as well?
Oh, yes. There's many ways to approach the mentoring process. And I think the biggest thing is to find a resource that provides you with the basic knowledge you need. And once you have the basic knowledge, that program needs to be able to continue the process. And as we go back to the term sustainability, the program needs to provide a sustainability for that individual so that they continue to be mentored in a positive direction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it kind of ties in with our focus of directional motivation when you bring that up, because really our site is geared towards helping people wherever they're at in their career to make that next step to the next level. And when you talk about sustainability, that's really what we're talking about as well.
Correct.
How about, you've certainly interviewed a lot of people through the years, and are there interviews that come to mind that maybe were candidates just... they might have blown the interview, and what's caused it, where you go, end of the interview, that type of thing. Cautionary things that maybe you could bring to light for our listeners.
Yeah, Russ. I think the first and foremost thing that I see in an interview that is an immediate turnoff is the basic dress code. And I know we're now in a society where it's kind of a more relaxed atmosphere, but I still believe that if you dress for success, you will gain success. And I've seen in my career and in a lot of interviews where people come in and you're immediately turned off by the fact that they did not come dressed for success. And it does not have to be a three-piece suit, but it definitely has to be something that you're aware of when you come to the interview. One instance, I remember interviewing a person, and they openly admitted that the only reason they were there was because the HR manager was a friend of theirs, and they were just going through the motions. So you have to be careful what you say. But I think really back to the beginning thing is, you're there for an interview. You're there to present yourself, and you have to present yourself well.
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the books that I'm writing right now on interviewing, and we should have that done here with the next few weeks, and I make the statement, and it's I've had some people read the original draft of it now, and I make the statement that the person across the desk is the most important person on the face of the planet at that time. And, what I found in interviewing people as a business owner myself is that... sometimes they're distracted. Sometimes they're just not focused. Have you seen that too?
Yes, I have. I've seen it where you almost have to address them and say, "Are you with me here? Are you paying attention to what I'm saying? Because I'm asking you questions and you're not responding in a positive manner." And there are people out there that. Some of them do not know how to interview, and that's one thing. You can get around that if you see that well enough. And good interviewers can tell that. There's nervousness, there's uncertainty a little bit. That's a given. But you can also tell the ones that when you're interviewing them, they really don't want to be there for whatever reason. They were brought into the interview. It's just not it's not working for them. And so you have to somehow either try to steer them in the right direction and hope that they do a turnaround, or you just politely have to end your interview.
Sure.
And move on.
It's kind of interesting you mentioned that, considering how competitive the job market is. But have you had individuals that just really stood out in the interview process to you, and characteristics maybe that they displayed that you go, wow, really like this individual?
Yeah, a couple of things. But I think the number one thing that I've seen is an individual that presents a real desire to be the best at what they were hired to do. Then there's other factors, a positive outlook in general, and, no real negativity towards, any of the past experiences, things like that. You want an individual that's has a good balance between a reality and a futuristic goal of what they want to be in years to come. And again, I think it's the ability for somebody to know where they're going and what they want to accomplish.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever hire an individual that maybe you brought in and your job description said they needed, I don't know what it would be, if, for instance, ammonia refrigeration, or they might have needed hydraulics background or pneumatics, that type of thing, and maybe they were light in those areas, but you hired them anyway because of something that drew you to them?
Yeah, several instances come to mind as far as individuals I have hired for the company that fit that description. And I think the biggest factor there is, again, goes back to skill set. If they have the basic skill sets and knowledge of the job, then we can move forward with giving them on-the-job training, or there's so many different schools out there that you can send an individual to gain more knowledge. The bottom line to that is they really need to have the desire to move forward and build their career. But there's a lot of people out there that have the desire, maybe don't have the knowledge set, but they're willing to learn. And those are the individuals that you want to hire.
Sure. You know, as a recruiter, it's interesting because many of the companies that I work with, companies have certain characteristics about, you know, I can say this when I'm interviewing an individual, I can say, well, this is a Pepsi person because of the temperament, their approach, their attitude, you know, everything that they bring, the energy level, or they might be, you know, whatever company, and I'll say they fit. And as a recruiter, many times I'll have individuals that don't have as much in the skill set, but they've got Pepsi written all over them in terms of potential. They fit that persona that they look for, that type of thing. And have you seen the same thing from your perspective?
Yes, I have. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the things is, in my opinion, the number one attribute for success in an individual is attitude and humbleness.
That's funny you mention that, because I've said many times that some of your greatest maintenance people are actually very humble, and you almost have to pull some of the information out of them because they just don't blow their horn. And it's really interesting you mention that. It just comes to mind in the conversation at this point. I know that one of the things that comes into play many times is the question is, how do people take and get recognized in an environment without portraying that you know, they're a suck up or brown nose or whatever the case may be? How does a person do that, get recognized, for instance, like in a Fortune 500 company, you know, with the numbers involved, that type of thing? How does a person get recognized? You know, what are maybe steps that they can do to get that type of visibility? From a promotional standpoint, we'll talk about maybe how to approach a raise and things like that. But do you have some thoughts on that?
A couple of thoughts. I think for an individual, once they get in an organization, how can they ensure long-term employment, and how do they get noticed? First thing for me would be to lead by example. Next thing is do what you say you can do. You'll get noticed. And the third is remember and acknowledge your support staff. It's always team. We talk a lot about teams, and the old adage, there is no I in team. Individualism is good, but you always want to look back and see, you know, who helped you get where you are. There's always somebody there. Maybe it takes a little bit to acknowledge that, but the biggest thing is, you know, do those three things, and I think success will come your way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very true. Talking with regards to maybe college grads, juniors, seniors, things that possibly they could do to strengthen themselves coming into the marketplace, and we touched on a little bit, but are there some more thoughts that you might have in maybe explaining how to prepare themselves, but also how to get a picture of what the manufacturing environment is going to be like. Sometimes what I find with the recent grads, it's a shock to their system. You know, they've been getting up, for some of them, maybe they get up at 11 o'clock in the morning, you know. Things change in a work environment. Can you kind of address that a little bit?
Yeah, the company I work for is heavily involved in internships, and I believe, especially in the industry I work in, that the hands-on skills really prepare the individual for the day-to-day challenges. Being book smart, to me, leaves gaps, and so mm-hmm. it's important for the individual to either before they get out of college or during the interview process, make sure that there's some sort of internship program available if they don't have the hands-on skills beforehand, because it goes hand in hand.
Mm-hmm. You know, we've talked a lot, I mentioned college graduates a lot, but you know, as I find, there's a lot of technical institutions that provide some very good skills training, and it seems like the trend is more towards that in some operations now. Are you seeing that in the marketplace as well?
Yeah, a bit of that. You know, we still see the old school approach too, but we're starting to see that trend a little bit toward the positive side of that.
Mm-hmm. I think, you know, you find a lot of organizations that are very strong proponents of education. They're willing to take somebody with an associate's degree, for instance, or a strong technical degree, and say, all right, are you willing to take and apply more education or go to classes that are going to enhance your education as you go? And if you can show the flexibility to and the openness to do that, a lot of times you can break down a barrier of not having a full-fledged four-year degree in some institutions. Not every company is that way, and you know, nothing's 100% in life, but have you seen that to be the case too?
Yes, and I have to agree on that. And I've noticed that the more progressive companies tend to, in their job descriptions and their job requirements, they tend to now offer a little bit of flexibility where if you don't have the complete college degree, you can use a lot of life resources, mm-hmm. job experience, things like that. Anywhere from, say, 3 to 5 to 10 years of experience will sometimes supplement the fact that you may have a 2-year degree versus a 4-year degree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good. And I don't know if you want to address this at all, Terry, and you can tell me no, that's not an issue here, but if there were some things that maybe a thing or two in your career that you wished you maybe had done a little bit different for the help of our listeners, is there anything that comes to mind?
I think one of the things is, I believe my success has been based on being the go-to guy, and, you know, not looking for someone else to complete my tasks, knowing my limitations and understanding where my weaknesses are and my positive assets. Again, you know, going back to do the best you can, and I think you'll succeed.
Mm-hmm. Good. Well, Terry, I really appreciate you taking time. You know, I think these interviews are a very important component of directional motivation, and you know, we're just really thrilled to have you. Any parting comments that you might have for us today?
Well, you know, and I guess I'm going to give a little bit of a plug for the directional motivation, and really, so far, it's the best one I've seen that provides honest answers to real-life questions, and I reviewed, you know, the books, and I think that's the key there. It's not just being book smart, and we've talked about that in the past. It's you get real answers to real questions, and I think it's going to be a very big success for people that want to further their careers.
Mm-hmm. Very good, very good. Well, Terry, I appreciate it. It's been a pleasure, and I'm sure that we'll have you on again, and we'll talk into some other things. I was thinking maybe at some point we'd go into a real strong maintenance conversation, maintenance and engineering, for individuals that maybe would have an interest in that area, if you'd be interested in doing something like that with us in the future.
Yes, that would be. That'd be great.
Very good. Well, I appreciate it, Terry. Been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.